Okay, good morning. Lord bless you all this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be together. Pray that you bless the time that we're here and give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to be a light to this world, faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this week we are in Matthew 24. And this is the chapter where Jesus speaks about things to come in the future, things to come in the end times. And about his return. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" This is one thing that's already come to pass. The temple, the very buildings that his disciples were showing Jesus, only 40 years later, 70 AD, were completely destroyed all the way to the ground. The very Jews that rejected and did not believe in Jesus decided to revolt against the Romans who had power over Jerusalem, who were in power at the time over Jerusalem. And it was even said in their own writings that they made every effort possible to try to end the revolt with the Jews in a way that would preserve the city and the temple. But the Jews were so hardened and stubborn in their rebellion, and I believe it was even of their own people. Even the Jews themselves ended up starting the fire that burnt down the temple, and it eventually was leveled to the ground. I might be off a little bit in that from the writings of Josephus. That's if anybody has any more details about that, but that's exactly what happened. Just as Jesus prophesied, the temple was brought to the ground. I imagine it would have even been within the lifetime of the disciples that heard these things. And they asked him when these things would come. Jesus goes on to say, he answered to them saying, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Now, that's as far as I'm going to read in this lesson. I think one of the most descriptive words about the times that we're living in that Jesus prophesied about would be the two verses here where he says, "Because iniquity will abound, the love of many shall grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." And I think it's pretty easy to see why it becomes so difficult to love. I mean, it's even hard for us to love because of the environment that we're surrounded in, of so much betrayal and chaos and people taking advantage and not taking responsibility. And it's just hard to, because iniquity is abounding, it's hard to love. It's hard to love somebody who comes and wants to just be irresponsible and take advantage of you and in the end just do whatever he can to get the best of you. The lawlessness and the iniquity makes it hard to love. And I think it goes right along with what comes right after it. He who endures to the end shall be saved. The idea, here we see again a clearer description of love than the concept that we have of love. Love is something that has to be endured, and even endured to the very end. It's not a bowl of ice cream. It's something that's very few are going to be able to endure to the end in. And it's just as much of a challenge to me as anybody reading these passages and thinking about the circumstances that surround us and the time we're living in and everything we've seen and the things we're going to have to face that are yet to come, if we're going to endure to the end. Yeah. And not let our love grow cold in an environment in a time where iniquity is abounding so much. So for the boys' lesson next week, I think that would be the topic of discussion or something to say. Find something that you can relate to in these passages about enduring to the end and in loving. At a time where we're faced with so much temptation and iniquity and difficulties around us. Lord bless you all. And you're free to do the boys' lesson from last week.
For last week's assignment is to give an example of someone who was like one of the prophets or righteous men who were killed. And Stephen, he was a righteous man. He was preaching, but all the sinners got really upset.
Isaiah was a prophet and he got killed by Manasseh.
Judas Maccabeus was a righteous man. His story is recorded in 1 Maccabees, like 3 through 9 in there. And he came after his father succeeded, or he was took over after his father died. He was led the Jews to victory against their enemies, and then when he had a little time of peace there, he restored the temple and got that better. And then eventually he was going out to battle, and there was a great army of the other side, and some of his troops got scared and ran away. So he was left with just a few people, and then he ended up dying in that battle. And then at the end of chapter 9, it says, "Now the abundant acts of Judas, his wars, the brave things he did, and his greatness are not recorded, for they were far too many." So he was a righteous man.
There was a man of God that the Bible doesn't tell his name, but he went to Samaria, or the tribes that had come away from Judah and Benjamin, And he tried to preach to Jeroboam because he had left the true God. And yeah, he told him that the bones of the priests, the bad priests, were going to get burnt on the altars he had made and everything. And the Lord had told him not to eat or drink there, and to go back the way he came. And so this old prophet told him that an angel had said he should eat with him and then go back a different way. So he obeyed him, and then a lion met him and killed him.
I thought of Elijah when the king and queen wanted to kill him. He went off to hide in the rocks and had to live there for a while, I don't know how long. But at the end of his life, he didn't die. God took him up into heaven with him.
I read a story in Fox Book of Martyrs about this guy, this bishop around 360-something AD, and the Romans ordered him to worship this idol. It was Jupiter, the head idol of Rome. But instead, he shoved it away with his hand. And so the governor had that hand cut off. But while he was in, and put him in prison. But while he was in prison, he converted the governor to Christianity and his family. And so the other authorities had the governor and his family killed. And then later, they scourged the bishop until he died. I thought about Joseph. His brothers were jealous of him, and they didn't like how their father loved him better. And then they pretty much took his life away from him and sold him into Egypt. And so we need to be content with our position in life and not get envious, because life isn't always going to be fair.
In the First Kingdoms, there's a story about when King David was trying to kill, or King Saul was trying to kill David, and he asked all the priests if they knew something about David, and he got this idea that they were on David's side, and so he told the guards to kill all the priests, and they wouldn't, because they knew that wouldn't be right. And so then he asked Doeg, a Syrian, and he did it, because he didn't care. And so he killed all the 305 priests of the Lord, and only one escaped, and one of the sons of the priests escaped and told David that.
Here in 2 Chronicles, it's talking about the story of Joash and how he started out good. He was real young when he became king. And as long as his uncle, something like that, Jehoiada, an old man, was leading him. And as long as Jehoiada was alive, Joash did righteous things. He fixed up the temple, but then here it says, starting at verse 15 of chapter 24, 2 Chronicles. But Jehoiada grew old and full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died. They buried him in the city of David, with the kings, because he had done good in Israel toward God and his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them, and they left the Lord God of their fathers to serve Asherah and the idols. And wrath came on Judah and Jerusalem on that day. But still he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. But they did not listen. The prophets testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Lord of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. So it was Zechariah was the old man that had helped Joash's boy. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, who watched over the people, and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord, why do you transgress the transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper. Since you forsook the Lord, he shall forsake you. So they conspired against Zechariah, and at the command of the king they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the mercy Jehoiada his father had shown him, but killed his son. As he died, he said, "May the Lord see and judge."
I got in 2 Maccabees 7, it talks about seven sons and their mother were persecuted because they would not listen to the laws of the king, but they upheld the laws of their fathers to not eat pork. And they were persecuted one by one while the others were watching. And when they got to the last one, they tried hard to persuade him, but he stayed faithful. Then they persecuted their mother after all of them.
I thought about Daniel when he was in Israel and another king came and took him and some of his friends and whatnot to a strange city far away to serve as a slave, and he got favor in the sight of the king and became one of the highest people in the land, and he asked God for wisdom every day, and some people didn't like that, so they talked to the king about it and told the king that he should not let him do that, and he did it anyhow because he knew that was right and got thrown in the lion's den for it. And God shut the mouths of the lions because it was a faithful servant.
And John the Baptist, when he was preaching to King Herod about he shouldn't have his brother's wife as his own, and Herod just kind of didn't really care what he was saying, just respected him in it, but just didn't apply it. And he was having a birthday and just had his niece dance for him. And I'm so impressed that he told her that he could have anything he wanted, and she asked if she could ask her mother, and her mother told her that she should ask for the head of John the Baptist. So he went and had it done, but he didn't really want to do it, but he said he's.
I'm going to read a portion of scripture in the prophet Zechariah. Chapter 13, verse 7 through 9. O sword, rise up against my shepherds, against my fellow man, says the Lord Almighty. Smite the shepherds and draw out the sheep, and I shall bring my hand against the shepherds. And it will come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two of every three will be utterly destroyed and shall die, but the other third will be left in it. And I shall bring the remaining third through the fire, and I shall try them as silver is tried, and I will prove them as gold itself. Gold itself is proven. He will call upon my name, and I will hear him, and I will say, "This is my people," and they will say, "The Lord is my God." I thought this was interesting because it talks about being tried through the fire, and that made me think of the martyrs, but not only the martyrs, but the people who want to do what's good and struggle through life and are tried and tested in little ways every day. But I thought it was interesting that God destroys part of people that are against him, and then the part that's serving him gets persecuted by the evil part. And so he doesn't destroy all the evil, but we have to go through and put up with it. And it also made me think of the church divide or split, and how we're doing what's right every day. I don't know. The Lord dealt with everything the way he saw fit. And we just gotta press through every day, no matter what. We don't understand it all, but we know what's right. And it's amazing how good is and how evil is. And we don't understand it. I don't. It really doesn't make... If I try to think about it, it doesn't make sense to me. But I do know that the Lord is a good shepherd, and he talks about shepherds and sheep here, which I thought was interesting. And but his sheep hear his voice, and they know, they understand him, and he loves his sheep. And I think that's part of the reason why he deals with people that are evil the way he does, because they're choosing to be that way. And but he deals with his sheep in a way that's loving, and he guides them, and his sheep hear his voice. And if we want to be his sheep, we need to hear his voice. And the persecution that we get is not going to be because of our own wrongdoing. It's going to be because we love what's right. And there's people out there who don't love what's right, and they're going to give us trouble. And we're going to come up against trials. And sometimes I feel like in my life, I'm still suffering because of my own wrongdoing. And I feel like I haven't matured into the level of suffering because I'm doing what's right. I see what's right, and I love what's right, in my mind at least. And I see that doing right, you're going to come up against lots of struggles. But I also see that I'm still a child, and I still act like a child sometimes. And while I'm working, I bring suffering upon myself because I'm not cooperating with the other people in the crew, or I bring suffering upon myself because I overindulge myself. Like, I'll stay up too late and eat a bunch of candy. And so I'm bringing suffering upon myself, and there's no reason for that. But when I see what's good, and I start to break that cycle, I start to realize that we don't have to treat ourselves like that, you know? And we don't have to let what's evil bring us down. And we need to rise above those things and mature to the level of taking responsibility. And everybody here that has left so many things to follow the Lord, they've taken responsibility. And they're much older than we are and have gone through a lot more than we have. And we're just still babies, us young people in Christ. We see what's right, and we love it in our hearts, but we have a lot to learn. So let's press through and get past that baby stage. Lord bless you all.
King Saul killed all the 305 priests and their families, and because they helped David.